And good morning, everybody. What a blessing to be together and a very special day today. We can call this our Zoom Appreciation Day. So we want to join those who are in person on Zoom so we can keep connected up, even though that we might be separated by many, many miles. Thank you all for joining in. I'd like to just ask a special blessing here before the sermon. Our Father, God, we can't thank you enough. You are the most generous person we can possibly imagine, and we are here to worship you. Thank you that you've called us to be a house of prayer, and we pray one for another, and we worship you, and we just want to become more like you, and we want you living in us to empower us to have that same kind of generosity that you have. And so, God, we just ask you to teach us today and give us hearts to listen and to be transformed by your Holy Spirit, who is the one speaking today through me, because it's all about you, Father. It's not about us. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so we humble ourselves before you to listen to your word as you teach us what we need to know to become more like you. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to begin by telling a little story about someone who made a whole lot of money. His name was Chuck Feeney. In fact, he was a billionaire back before you heard a whole lot about billionaires. He made tons and tons of money he opened up a duty-free shop at airports all over the world. And that started in 1984. But in the next 40 years until today, in fact, he's still alive today, but for 40 years, he was giving money privately. Nobody knew anything about it. It was all behind the scenes because he didn't want anybody to know that he was rich, and he wanted to give everything anonymously until there was some person that got into a dispute with him and his name got out, and then they found out who he was. But he had this goal that all the money he had, he wanted to give it all away before he died. In fact, he said his goal was to die broke. And he had a philosophy of giving while living. Anyway, he is now 92 years old and he's broke. He lives in what they call the size of a freshman dorm room up in San Francisco with his wife as well. And their money's gone, but they're surviving and so on. But this was their goal. And he gave over $8 billion away. And if you try to even wrap your mind around $8 billion, if you take $1 million, which people think they're rich when they have $1 million, but a billionaire has $1,000 million, you try to even count to 1,000 and think you've got that many millions of dollars. And then 8 of those on top of that. And that's what he gave away during the course of his life. That is phenomenal. But that is almost irrelevant compared to the kind of generosity our God has. Because he owns everything. He gave us not just his own son to die for us, but everything that we see. And I was just looking at a sunset. And what a gift. It was just so beautiful to see that sunset. And you got a sunrise every morning. And we get to look at all the birds and the trees and the flowers and the bees. And to enjoy honey that they produce. All these things were designed by the most generous God ever. You know, in the olden days, it was just not cool to become humble. It was all about your name and you wanted all the credit. But God is such a giver. He gives everything he's got. I mean, just like this guy who wanted to die broke, but God died and he still has everything and he's given it all away. And when you really begin to know the God that we worship, he is beyond comprehension. It doesn't even make sense. Because it's just beyond our wildest imagination to see what he has done. And he flies in the face of everything that this world thinks is cool, because this world, it's all about vanity, lust, and greed. But God is all about love, grace, mercy, kindness. And we're going to see that as we dive into Philippians chapter 2 here today. And we're going to cover the first 16 verses. But this is such a beautiful, it's almost like a hymn. They call it Christ's hymn in part of it. And it just shows us today how we can become just like God. That's what he wants. He wants us to become just like him. And just like everything else God wants us to do, he wants us to love our enemies. We can't do that. He wants us to do good to those that hate us. That's the last thing on earth anybody wants to do. But the only way we can do these things that God has commanded and that Jesus spells out in the Gospels is to ask Jesus to do it through us, that we can become his instruments. And we're going to see here as we dive into this. Let's take a look at verse 1. Here Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Now you have to meditate about that for a moment. But God is full of encouragement. I mean, everywhere you look, every time you, if you look in the refrigerator, it's encouraging unless you're broke and you don't have anything in your fridge. But there's food everywhere, especially in this country that we're in. We are blessed beyond comprehension. But God is full of encouragement when we really know what kind of God he is. He says, if you have any encouragement from, listen to these three things, being united with Christ. Do you know what that means, to be united with Christ? Jesus wants us to see that he has an open house. Just like, when was the last time you had somebody over to your house? Just think about that. Jesus has us over to his house all day long. He invites us into his house, and we need to invite him into our house every single day, because he wants to hang out at your house. Have you ever had somebody that just loves to hang out with you, to hang out at your house? But it's an interesting way of looking at it. It's wonderful to know, because God says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Your body belongs to God, and he wants to live in you and to live through you and turn you into exactly what he is like. And he's the most generous God you could ever imagine, and he wants us to become just like him. He says, when we are united with him, he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So when he's hanging out at your house, he's never going to go away. He's hanging out with you and just looking forward. He loves to talk to you. And all we have to do is listen. And he left us numerous Bibles in our house so we can just open them and listen to what he has to say, because he talks to us right out of those Bibles, whichever one you pick up, even whatever language it is, he'll talk to you in your language. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is the God. This is, says, is this encouraging? If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. What God in any of the years gone by that world worships as gods does that, that hangs out at your house and just wants to be with you and wants to talk with you and walk with you and hold your hand and guide you and lead you? And listen to the rest of this. Let's read on. This is just the tip of the iceberg. If any comfort from his love, what kind of comfort do we receive from God knowing that he has already paid for all of your sins, past, present, and future? The wages of sin is death. That's a law. And God says, you don't have to worry about that. I got that. I got you covered. Isn't that nice to have a friend that's always got you covered? And on top of that, if you read John 15 and verse 13, it says, greater love has no man than this, than if a man lays down his life for his friend. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. There's no greater love you can have than this kind of love. What generosity from God to just dump all of his love right smack dab in your lap. When you really understand it, you just say, wow. That's what fear God means. It means, wow, God, awesome, what a phenomenal, generous God that we worship. And so he says, if you have any comfort from his love, you know, for God so loved the whole world. He hates sin, but he loves every sinner. And he's got a plan designed out for every single person who's ever been born. He wants everybody to be saved, and he loves every single person. He just hates the sin that they're involved in. But look at the kind of comfort where this God that we worship loves us with this kind of passion. And if any fellowship with the Spirit, when you're baptized, God says he pours out his Spirit upon us, and we now have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, which only the patriarchs and the prophets had the Holy Spirit with them. But the Holy Spirit is in us, inside of us, living his life through us if we ask him to. What an honor, what a privilege, what a blessing. So now we have Jesus Christ living in us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And then Jesus Christ says in John 14, the very last verse, he says, I do exactly what my Father who is in me commands me to do. My Father who is in me, he does the works. So when we have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father living in us, what kind of God is this? All three, the Father, Son, and Spirit are in. I just love to share this with people at the jail. These guys can't wait to come in to hear more because they just never heard this stuff. This is smack dab right out of your Bible. We went through this, Philippians chapter 2, and it just blew them away. It's just so exciting to be able to see what kind of God we worship. And he wants us to share this with others. Let's move on. It says, if any tenderness and compassion. I mean, just think about that. Here we are. We don't deserve anything. You know, God tells us that without him, we can do nothing. But yet he's giving us everything. He wants to share his life. He wants to share his body with us because he says we shall be just like him. We shall be see him as he is. This is the tenderness and the compassion of God. He looks down and he sees what pathetic shape we're in. He says, I am going to lift you up. But notice how what he says, how it works. And this is what this section of Philippians 2 is all about. He wants us to see how this works, how you can become generous just like God does. And generous, I'm not talking about just money. That's just one small aspect of the generosity. God says he wants out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This is what he's giving to us. Those living waters come from God, but all we need to do is ask for it, and he gives it to us free. And he says, if any tenderness, have you had any tenderness from God? When you think about it, just look at all the things that God has given to you. I am so thankful for every one of the five senses that some people are missing one of those five senses because of some accident that took place or whatever. But those who have all five senses that can see, can hear, can taste, can feel, can smell, all these things, and each one brings a certain kind of joy and thrill to us as physical human beings. And the amazing thing is this physical human body that we have now is like dirt compared to what he's going to give to us. And this is the message I want to get across to every person that I talk to. And that is, you do not want to miss out on that first resurrection when you're going to have this body. You're going to be caught up together with Jesus Christ. What kind of tenderness and compassion if we're just willing to listen? The whole problem with ancient Israel, they wouldn't listen. They had to go through 40 years in the desert because all they want to do is complain and bellyache about everything. And God is telling us how not to follow the example of ancient Israel. He wants to live in us and give us his. And we've got one word that describes this beautifully. Let's read on and see what it is. Then make my joy complete, Paul says, by being like-minded. This fully generous, overwhelmingly spectacular God who wants to give us everything he's got, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In other words, let's get rid of this rotten, despicable human nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve because they chose to listen to the devil himself. And we have inherited that satanic nature that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, as Jeremiah 17:9 says. He says, so don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. How do you do that? Right here. But in humility, and that's what God's looking for, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. If you want to be generous, humble yourself before God and say, God, I want your will. I don't want my way. My way needs to go out the highway. I need to go your way and no other way. I want to go your way 100%. In humility, this is what he wants. And this is what Jesus is doing. And this is what God is doing. This is what the Holy Spirit is teaching us in us. Consider others better than yourself. That's just not normal. That doesn't even make sense to make others better than yourself. But that's what Jesus did. He came down and was willing to humble himself and become a human being when he made everything. And he made these low-life humans that are subject to death and pain, sorrow, and suffering and everything else. And he came down here and he became one of us. Now, what God in history has ever done something like that? That's the God we worship. In humility, he considers us better than himself because he was willing to die himself to pay for all of our sins. He esteemed us that highly that he wants to share his glory with us, considering others better than ourselves. Each of you, and this is now how it plays out, when Jesus Christ is living in us and we ask him to fulfill his will in our life so that we can be like him, we're going to become generous givers of everything we have. Your time, because time is priceless. You can never redeem time. I mean, you can redeem it now, but if it's gone, you can't get it back. And God wants us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. He wants us to use every minute for his glory. And when you do that, he's going to give you glory beyond comprehension. If you read 1 Corinthians 15, he shows all the different levels of glory that are going to be in the kingdom. And it's being determined now by how you let Jesus Christ live in your life now by doing what we're going to read right now. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's the formula. It's called the golden rule. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being. That is the first golden rule. It's worshiping God. It's adoring God. It's saying, God, I want to be just like you. I want to think like you. I want to act like you. I want to be close to you. That's worshiping God. You adore him. And the second thing is you look up to everybody around you. Everybody around us. See, we can't do that, but Jesus in us can do that. Each of you should look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. That's why when you see somebody, no matter who they are, give them a smile. Sometimes that's the only thing they need for that whole day because somebody went out of the way to just acknowledge them. I try to make it a point every time I'm in an elevator to talk to everybody there, whether they like it or not. No, I mean, just to just acknowledge them and maybe ask them, you know, what kind of work do they do or whatever. Then they usually ask me what I do. But it's just, it's a wonderful way to be generous and give of your time for somebody else because your time is your life. These are things Jesus Christ did. If you look at the Gospels, Jesus was out there giving to everybody all the time. And he went out of his way, especially for the widows and the orphans and those who were hurting. And we need to ask God to give us that same mindset that we're willing to lay down our lives for each other and to look after, especially those who are hurting, and to go out of our way to give them phone calls or to just check and see how they're doing. Because this is called generosity. This is who God is. It's called love. It's called compassion. It's tenderness. It is being united with Christ. This is the lifestyle of God. That's what he does all day long. And he doesn't even sleep. He keeps doing it all the time. And that's what we're going to be doing for eternity. And he goes on to say, verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And so God is looking for that attitude. And attitude is a choice. You can choose to have a negative attitude or a positive attitude. And if all you ever think about is all the problems and you're looking at the circumstances, you're going to be depressed. But if we look up and realize what an absolutely generous, spectacular God who's going to give us everything, and he already has given us everything. He says it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're going to inherit the kingdom of God, and we've already got a taste of it now by having the Holy Spirit living in through in us and through us. What an absolutely spectacular, generous God we worship, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He didn't try to, I got to hold on to this. I don't know, whatever. He wants to share it with everybody. And God wants us to share everything that we have with others. And if you're not sure exactly what that is, say, God, open my eyes to help me to see how I can be just like you in my day-to-day life, so that everything that I can do can be a blessing to every person that I meet. Every person that I meet. God can do that. He can just put a countenance around you and let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But verse 7 says, but he made himself nothing. And that's what we have to do, is we've got to lay down our lives to die to ourselves, as Paul says. That's what Jesus did. If we're going to be like him, we have to die to ourselves. That doesn't mean that you're going to die physically, but it's going to be die to all of your wills and your wants and your and so forth, and say, God, I want for me exactly what you want for me. And when you take that approach and God reads your heart and he knows exactly whether you're telling the truth or not, and if it's the truth, then you've got some blessings coming your way. And they're not necessarily what you think are blessings. They're going to be things that are going to last for eternity. Because God doesn't have to deal with the physical only. He deals with the spiritual. Something that is 100,000 times more valuable than $1 billion is God's character, his love and his joy, his peace, his patience. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. People just worry themselves to death. We don't have to do that. He's already taken away all of our fears. His number one command in the Bible is fear not. When you fear, you're just basically telling God, you need to handle these problems. And God says, don't, just give them to me. He says, I'll work in and through you to accomplish my purpose in your life. We'll see that as we finish the rest of these verses. But here's what Jesus did. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. We have to be obedient to dying to ourselves, where we're willing to say, God, live through me and prompt me along the way so that I don't forget even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. And when we do that, he says he will exalt you to the highest place in due time. In that resurrection, when you are exalted, you're going to be lifted up into the air. You're going to have a spirit body that will have no more pain, sorrow, suffering, or death. And you'll have everything you can possibly imagine, because you are going to be just like Jesus. And you will have access to heaven, earth, the universe. And you'll have a body that makes your physical body seem irrelevant in comparison, like dirt. Even though it's a spectacular body that we have that took design that was incomprehensible. But the spirit body, that's why Jesus said in John 14:1, I go to prepare a place for you. God went back to heaven to prepare a place for you in that spiritual kingdom and receive you under myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a gift. What a blessing. What a phenomenal, generous God we worship. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. And we're going to be right there with him. If you read Revelation 5:10, it tells us that we're going to reign with Jesus Christ on the earth. We'll be right there with him. When we're married to Jesus Christ and he gives us his righteousness, everything that we have is going to be done in and through him. And we're going to become perfect. He's going to give us his perfection so that we can be in him for eternity as well. And that's the advantage of being a spirit being, is spirit beings do something that human beings cannot do. And that is they inhabit each other. God inhabits billions of people at the same time. You can't wrap your mind around that. Can you imagine what that will be like when we're like him and we inhabit billions of people at the same time? It's like trying to count the granules of sand on the seashore. It's just beyond comprehension. But that's the God we worship. He is so generous. He wants to share this with us, and he wants us to practice sharing everything we have now with everybody else to get ready. This is our boot camp, getting us ready for the kingdom. That in the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So there's nothing that's going to exclude God's kingship. And you're going to be married to this king, you and me, and every Christian, anybody who chooses God. God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Believe means obedience and surrendering your will to the will of God. And then he says he's going to give it all to you, and you're going to share in his glory with power over the nations. Revelation 2:26, to him that overcomes, this human nature, dying to the self and so on, to him I will give power over the nations. If you want to read what that power is like, read Psalm 149, and it tells you what you're going to be doing. It says, this honor has all his saints, in the last verse of Psalm 149. When you read that, it'll knock your socks off, so make sure you keep your shoes on. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, and we always ask, whenever you see the word therefore, what's it there for? Because it's referring to all the things that we've just been talking about. My dear friend, I'm hanging out at your house. You're my buddy. What a God that wants to do that. As you have always obeyed. He gives us the benefit of the doubt. As you have always obeyed. Thank you, God. Thank you that that's the way you see me, that you put my sins from one end of the horizon to the other and you've forgotten them. God, thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you for that. As you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the way that's translated, that gives you a concept that you have to earn your salvation. That's not at all. It's talking about salvation, the whole thing, that what we've been talking about. This is how it works. This is how it has to work. It has to work by us humbling ourselves and relying upon God to give us everything, his generosity. That's how you work out your own salvation. It's not your works. It's the works of Jesus Christ living in us that we've just read about in the previous 11 verses. So it's not talking anything whatsoever in any way, manner, shape, or form about you being good on your own, because you can't do it. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose, not yours, not mine, but his good purpose. And when we get on board with his will or his purpose and his good purpose, that's when everything begins to flow and your fears vanish, your problems are put into perspective, and you can rejoice no matter what. All the priceless gifts, like Jesus, when he was facing crucifixion, was filled with joy because his mind was focused on who, for the joy that was before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. See, he didn't mind being naked in front of everybody, hanging on the cross, because the joy that was coming made the present situation almost irrelevant in comparison. So he says, verse 14, do everything without complaining. We can't do that, but God can do that in us when we ask him to fill us with his generosity, that we're so generous that we're willing to give people acceptance even when they don't deserve it. Grace is when you give somebody something they don't deserve. God has given us salvation by grace. Are we saved through faith? Grace is something we don't deserve. God wants us to be like him and to give people respect they do not deserve, to esteem others better than yourself. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Anytime you argue, it's always a sin. It is a sin to argue, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And when you argue, that's contrary to faith, that God doesn't want us to argue. When you are arguing, you are trying to exalt yourself. You're not exalting God. When was God ever arguing with anybody? We don't need to argue. Arguing is failure in action. And sometimes you might think you win an argument. Nobody can ever win an argument. You've always lost because you were arguing. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that you may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor for nothing. And so here he's just telling us, we're living in a wretched, filthy, rotten, despicable world, but he wants us to be shining like the sun in full strength to show people the right way to go. And that light of God can shine through us when we ask him to fill us with his generosity, where we're willing to share everything that we have, our time, our life, our kindness, our thoughtfulness, not just money. Money is another thing too, but I'll tell you, you cannot outgive God. I've proven that 1,000 times over, and I think most of us have, that God is a giver, and that's just who he is. And when he sees you give, then he gives back, pressed down, pressed together, overflowing. That's just the God that we worship. And it's just wonderful to know that. And he wants us to shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Now, if you're holding back on the word of life, that may withhold the blessing, because the last thing Jesus said before he went back to heaven, ascending after his resurrection, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, if you're not talking about this and so on, how can we fulfill this scripture? This is what Jesus wants. This is how to be generous, is to share the joy God has given to you. How do you do that? Do you go knocking on doors and cramming things down people's throats? No. All you need to do is to love people. He says, love one another as I have loved you. And you go out of your way to listen to them. When you listen to people, eventually they feel guilty, and then they begin asking you to talk, and that's your opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. And you just say, well, you know, God has blessed me beyond comprehension. I can't even begin to tell you. You know, I tell you, one of the biggest blessings I received from God was be able to visit these prisoners in jail. How's that a blessing? Well, I'll tell you, every week I go there and I see these guys and how excited that they are. This is helping me to understand what Jesus is talking about, that the joy that is before him, he came down here to share the good news of the gospel, Jesus Christ, that why he came to save us from our sins, and beginning to tell people what an absolutely spectacular, unbelievable, awesome, generous God that we worship. This is what he's looking for. This is what he's saying right here. as you hold out the word of life. Who is the life? Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is how you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain for nothing. God wants to make sure we are following through, that we're not just having a head full of knowledge that is worth nothing if you don't share it, if you don't know how to share it. That's why God gives us knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is this, the head knowledge, which you get from reading the Bible. But you can read the Bible all day long and it's absolutely useless unless you have understanding and know how it applies in your personal life. And even if you have the understanding of how it applies in your personal life, it's absolutely useless as well unless you put it into action. That's wisdom. And when you have the wisdom, that makes the knowledge and the understanding come alive. Otherwise, it's just stuck in your brain. So God wants it to be flowing out of you like rivers of living water as you hold out the word of life. When we do that, God is well pleased. That's why God the Father spoke about Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And that's my prayer. Is I want, and I ask God, I said, my goal and my dream and my hope is when I'm in your kingdom, you can say the same of me. This is one of my beloved sons in whom I am well pleased. And so all we need to do is just ask God to help us to let Jesus live his generous life in us so that it overflows like rivers of living water to others and that they can begin to have a taste of who God is and how awesome that he is, so that they're no longer hoodwinked by Satan, who wants God to look like someone that's going to fry people in hell for eternity because he hates everybody that isn't a Christian or whatever, because that's just not the case. He loves every human being on earth. He just hates sin, and that's what he came to get rid of, is sin, not people. And so let's just thank God that he is the generous God that we are able to worship, that he is beyond comprehension, the best friend we can ever ask for. And Father, we just thank you so very much that you have given us your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our paths, and it is a generous gift. We just thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for you, God, because you are the author of all these things, and you created everything through your son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. And you are in the process of preparing a future for all mankind that is beyond their wildest dream. And you're going to start with the church in the first resurrection. And God, just help us to be fulfilling exactly what you want us to do, to be like your son, Jesus Christ, in the generosity of everything that we have that you've given to us, to share it with everybody everywhere we go. And we love you, we cherish you, we praise you, we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.